The first organized sport I got involved with was baseball. Pretty typical for a boy from Utah. What wasn't typical about it was that it was in Ecuador, with a group of boys that had never played before. Now, I had played a bit with my dad, and I wanted a lot more. And luckily, the principal at the school I was attending in Ecuador also loved baseball. So we formed a team. Did I mention that this was the Young Living Academy that my dad built in 2009? It was pretty fantastic. And just like kids playing here in the United States, the experience helped us to gain confidence, improve coordination, learn how to work together, and create lifelong friendships. All great lessons for life, no matter where they happen in the world. Hello and welcome to Young Living's podcast, The YL Drop. My name is Jacob Young, your host. This podcast will provide you with drops of information about Young Living, like stories, history, products, lots of little fun facts, and even more. Young Living is the world leader in distributing premium essential oils. We're also going to give you an opportunity to win this little bottle right here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's meet Jackie Skinner, the executive director of the Young Living Foundation and one of the founders of Goals for Girls, a leadership development platform that uses soccer to teach young women how to be leaders and changemakers in their own lives and communities. Jackie has worked all over the world in the social impact sector, including working in conflict zones, townships, small rural villages, and slums. We love and admire Jackie's commitment to the movement, passion, and mission with the Young Living Foundation. Since joining Young Living, Jackie and the Foundation have grown the Foundation's impact worldwide and have launched an artisan line that supports women living in disadvantaged areas around the world. So please welcome Jackie Skinner. Jackie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Jacob. I am so excited to be here with you.
Well, thanks for being here. And what do you think?
I love this space. If anyone visits GHQ, you got to visit because this podcast area is awesome.
Yeah, I love how Amanda and Brian Cooper, special thanks to them, just how they were able to get the layout of the podcast room. Well, once again, thank you for coming onto the show. And Jackie, let's just kind of start off. Give me the basics. Where were you born and raised? Your growing up experiences, all that.
Yeah, sure. I grew up in Northern Virginia, about an hour southwest of Washington, D.C., in a very small rural country town. And I'm the second oldest of five kids and just grew up in a wonderful community that I loved. I'm total Virginian at heart.
I love it. And so for those of you who don't know Jackie, Jackie is really into sports, soccer in particular. And you and my brother Joseph would play soccer all the time on certain trips and events that we'd go out to and certain mission projects and all that. How did you get into sports and how far did you get along with soccer?
Yeah. So as a young girl, probably age 3, 4, my parents enrolled me in soccer and I just became very obsessed with the sport at a very young age. I just remember so many days I'd just be out in my backyard by myself practicing, specifically juggling. I could juggle hundreds of times in a row on my head, on my feet, on my knees. And I just loved juggling and footwork. So I was very committed and a disciplined player when I was young. And I played club ball growing up and Olympic development program and always planned to play in college, but I decided not at the end of my high school experience and I went into coaching.
Okay, cool. Well, that's awesome. I was very bad at soccer. They always had me play goalie because I was better with my hands than I was with my feet. So I'm glad you were able to go really far with soccer. I did not, but that's okay. And I also understand that you lived in Uganda during your college years. Tell me about that experience.
Yeah. So during my undergrad, I had the opportunity to live in Uganda with a host family, a Ugandan family, and I lived there for 4 months and did research with the Ministry of Education and some professors at my university all around education. And we were trying to find a correlation between test scores and available resources because resources are so few in many schools. If you can know what resources relate to better test scores, you can allocate your funding accordingly. And during that time, I also was quite interested in female education and why girls were struggling to stay in school, mm-hmm. especially secondary school. So I did my own research with that. But that first experience opened my eyes to so much and probably put me on the trajectory I'm on now.
Wow. And that's some pretty impressive research to do. And yeah, that's really unique. I love this. So what did you do after you graduated college? Where'd you go from there?
Yeah, I studied education in college and international development. So when I graduated, I taught high school. I was a world history and world geography teacher and also the head soccer coach at the high school that I taught and coached at. And then on the side, I would continue to be engaged in international development type of opportunities. So after I graduated, the year after I graduated, so taught, I was invited by an organization called Help International to take over their programming in Uganda for 5 months. And so I got special permission to end my school year early, as long as I promised that I'd return the next year. And yeah. I went back to Uganda and had an incredible experience there working with university students from all over the nation in creating sustainable projects in the community.
That's awesome. Did you enjoy being a history teacher?
I did. Yeah, I loved teaching. I had a blast. It was such a fun.
I think that's why we get along so well, is I've enjoyed all the history teachers that I've ever had. They're just great human beings like you are. So
thank you.
In that time while you were back there, I heard from a little bird that a certain sports program was created. Would you like to touch upon that?
Yeah. So in northern Uganda, there was a 20-year war that was going on, and a lot of children were abducted during this time to join a rebel group. As the war was ending, they were reintegrating into their communities, and a gentleman in England identified the power of sport to help with this reintegration, resocialization process.
Yeah.
I heard about him, and I was really inspired by how he was using sport in such an innovative way. And so one weekend, I left the community I was living in to learn about this gentleman and learn about this program. And when I went to northern Uganda, I had the opportunity to meet a lot of these girls that were former abducted child soldiers or war affected in some way. And I was so inspired by their resiliency and their joy. And, you know, back home, I was the head varsity soccer coach at a school. Mm-hmm. And I often would think about the girls that I coached and comparing the two, and, you know, they're from totally different worlds, totally different world experiences, yet they had so much to learn from each other. And so I started dreaming up a project to bring these two groups of girls together, and considered what could that type of project look like, and yeah. what's the opportunity there. And so that's kind of what launched a program called Goals for Girls.
Wow. You've had some amazing experiences. I love this. And so with the Goals for Girls, talk to me about the planning with the first trip that you did, how the trip went, and kind of just where it went from there and how it expanded.
Sure. So I came back to the school that I was coaching at, and I continued teaching that year, mm-hmm. and told the girls about this experience I had meeting the Ugandan girls, and told them I want to bring you guys. And they were very excited. I was 23 at the time, so
wow.
I was quite young. And but they were so excited. I had a meeting with parents and said, okay, well, if you guys are interested in me leading this project, we have to fundraise a lot of money.
Yeah.
And so that started about a 9-month fundraising process, and also teaching the U.S. girls what the experience of these Ugandan girls was, so that they can have a context for the situation that they would soon be entering. So we read a book actually called Child Soldier that follows the account of a girl that had been abducted at one point. Mm-hmm. Raised all the funds, mentally prepared, and then had a 2-week program in Uganda where these two groups of girls came together. And it was just one of the most beautiful experiences watching these girls learn from each other. And one thing that I really admired from the Ugandan girls was resiliency and joy that just came so naturally despite the incredibly challenging circumstances that they had endured. While on the flip side, these American girls that I was working with, they had the world at their fingertips, wonderful education, wonderful families, safety, everything.
Yeah.
Yet they really struggled with happiness.
Yeah.
And I think when we brought these girls together, we developed a curriculum where the girls learned leadership lessons together. But part of leadership is empathizing with different people and learning from one another. And it just was one of the most beautiful experiences I've ever had in my life, actually.
Wow.
And that after that first project, I just knew we were on to something really, really meaningful, and that this could be replicated in so many different areas.
Yeah.
And how sport creates this neutral environment to unite people and to give them an opportunity to talk about challenging things, but under the guise of sport.
So why soccer particularly? And what made you think the sport could be used as a tool for this kind of development?
Yeah. Soccer in particular is a sport that is worldwide, but it's very easy to play, even if you don't have a soccer ball.
Okay, well, I don't know about that. Like I said, I'm pretty bad with my feet. So.
Well, I mean, anywhere you go, you can create a makeshift ball, and there's soccer.
Okay.
You don't need a lot of equipment. It's just, it's simple and it's affordable.
It's easy to set up is what you mean.
Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
All right.
So I've been in communities where grocery bags were bunched together with twine, and that's a soccer ball. Or banana leaves? Put together, wrapped.
That's awesome.
And that's a soccer ball. And then you put two rocks up for a goal, and there it is. And so the universality, if that's a word, of the sport is just it's just powerful. So any group of girls, you can just bring them together. Okay, here's a ball. But then let's talk about all of these sensitive or not so sensitive but really meaningful lessons that this game can teach us. So at the beginning of the podcast, you had mentioned how being a baseball player brought all these experiences about teamwork and developing confidence and using your voice. You didn't say this, but I think that's like such a powerful thing that sport develops. And so it's just such a easy sport, a universal sport, and can bridge gaps that it doesn't matter your religion, your politics, your socioeconomic background.
Yeah.
Nothing matters as when you enter any sport, but particularly soccer. You step on the field, nothing else matters, and let's just really get to business and you know, talk and play.
I love it. This is great. Well, let's take a quick 60-second break, and we'll be right back. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the commercial break. And like I was saying in the beginning of the video, you can win this special little bottle right here, which has this beautiful label on it. And I don't know all too much about it, so I'd like Jackie to tell me a little bit about it. Oh. So what's so special and amazing about this bottle right here, Jackie, this blend?
Okay, this is the new One Voice blend, and the label was designed by a girl named Shrey Link from Cambodia, who is a survivor of human trafficking that was in art therapy in one of the rehabilitation centers that the Young Living Foundation supports, and designed this label. And it is just beautiful, and the scent is amazing. It's just a beautiful new blend.
And this is the blend for convention for the foundation this year, the D. Gary Young Young Living Foundation.
Don't forget, Jacob, 35% of each bottle sold benefits the foundation.
Wow, that is awesome. It just keeps getting better and better. So if you'd like this bottle right here, comment down below hashtag One Voice on this YouTube video. And if you're not watching on YouTube, well, you better get over here. All right, and we are back. So with Goals for Girls, it obviously had to go even further, right?
Sure. I connected with a gentleman in Washington, D.C. that was doing something similar, and we teamed up and ran Goals for Girls as a side passion project. I ended up teaching, and there was no funding at that point.
Yeah.
So I ended up teaching for two more years. Then I moved to Washington, D.C., working for the United States Agency for International Development. During that time, still developing the curriculum for Goals for Girls and did some one-off projects in different parts of the world. We went to Peru and South Africa, teamed up with the State Department to do a program in Tajikistan. Still just a side hustle.
Yeah.
And then I left USAID knowing that there was a potential funder that was deeply interested, and that funder came through, and it turned into my full-time job. And so I have run Goals for Roles, whether as a passion project or full-time job, for the past 10 years prior to coming to the Young Living Foundation.
And so really quickly, kind of a while back, you were talking about a change maker. What exactly is that?
Yeah. So one of the focuses of Goals for Girls as an organization is to instill a seed at a young age into young girls that helps them to believe that they can be change makers. Change makers are just people that see problems and not wait for other people to solve those problems, but taking initiative and figuring it out yourself and standing up and creating the world that you want around you. And so all of our curriculum is designed around this, helping girls to be community, nationwide, world change makers.
I love it. Love it. Sounds a lot like my dad when you were explaining it. So talk to me about the leadership summits and the community change projects that happen with Goals for Girls.
Okay, so leadership summits bring girls from diverse backgrounds together, and it's a four to five day program where the girls go through a set curriculum that's either on the field or off the field, where girls learn how to create change projects in their community. Post the summit, the girls implement community change projects for 1 year, and Goals for Girls follows the progress of the projects. So there's projects going on at any given time in all the countries that Goals for Girls operates in. And it's really incredible to see girls attend an event, take away these incredible, valuable lessons, and creating the change that they want to see in their communities, tackling an issue they care about.
Beautiful. This is just awesome. I love it. With all of that and just even more, I really just want to quickly focus on something about you that I happened to hear about. I heard that you love kayaking as one of your like side hobbies and stuff.
You know, I do, but not just any kayaking. I'm a whitewater kayaking. Okay. So the still kayaking, I mean, it's kind of fun, but it's mainly a little bit boring for me. But I love whitewater kayaking. I love the adrenaline and peace that rivers bring. And it helps me to really be present. It's just something I really love. I love rivers.
Wonderful. That's awesome. So how did your journey start with the Young Living Foundation? How did you become involved with the Young Living Foundation?
So I was leading a Goals for Girls Leadership Summit in Utah in collaboration with the Major League Women's Soccer team in Utah called the Utah Royals. Mm-hmm. And I had invited potential sponsors, one of which was Greg Larson, my predecessor, who formerly ran the Young Living Foundation.
Long locks, Greg.
We love Greg. Yep. So much. So Greg and some other Young Living colleagues attended this the opening ceremonies of this event. And I sat with them for a second. And I said, I really want to sit down with you and tell you about this organization. It's deeply impacting lives around the world, and you need to be a part of it. So that started a long series of meetings and pitches and proposals back and forth. And I got a call from Greg thinking he was going to tell me, hey, we want to partner with Goals for Girls, and here's a significant amount of funding to expand around the world, which is what the call was, in addition to saying, and we want you to take over the Young Living Foundation. And I about dropped the phone. I was like, what? And it was interesting because at that point, you know, I had been running the program, again, with a colleague in D.C. Yeah. for the past 10 years, and I was ready to bring the experience that I have had somewhere else. And Goals for Girls was in really good hands. I have incredible colleagues in different parts of the world that are carrying on the legacy of the program, and they're doing an amazing job. So the time was right to take the leap, and I really admired everyone that I met at Young Living, and especially your parents. I didn't get a chance to meet Gary, but feeling his heart through being in this position touches me every day. And the stories that I hear are just so inspiring. So yeah. I I felt like this is the right place for me right now.
Wonderful. And thank you for being here. Your commitment. I mean, the role that you're in with the foundation is extremely taxing, but in an amazing way. The payout, you know, the not necessarily risk to reward, but the work and the reward are just amazing. And we truly just want to take a little bit of moment in time to thank Greg Lorson for his time with the foundation and everything that he was able to do. So thank you. And so also with the foundation, where it's currently at, I know people, you know, the people listening right now, all our droppers is what I like to call them. They'd love to hear some updates on the foundation. And I'd like to hear some updates that you're extremely excited about as well. Can you give us some updates and some that you're really excited about?
Sure. Okay. So last year's convention, we announced how all of our philanthropic efforts would be focused into three areas: education, ending exploitation, and developing enterprise opportunities for women. I have like big updates on all three of these different areas. The foundation team has been extremely busy, but one of the initiatives that we're really excited about that we will be announcing at convention, we're launching a Young Living brand partner and employee matching program called The Passion in You, which gives any employee around the world and any brand partner around the world the opportunity to find an organization and project that they're passionate about that still aligns with our three pillars.
Yeah.
And they can partner with organization, find a project to fundraise for. We will match dollar for dollar up to $10,000 to your project.
Wow.
And so that is going to expand our impact in the communities you care about and the issues you care about, but again, aligning with our three pillars. So we're just so excited to get this program kicked off. You can visit younglivingfoundation.org/passioninyou to learn more about this exciting new program. So that's one of the big things that I'm very excited about.
That is awesome. And the link for that will be down below in the description for this YouTube video. And like I said before, if you're not watching on the YouTube side, you should. It's pretty entertaining. You get to see our beautiful face. Well, maybe Jackie's beautiful face. I don't know about
too.
Mine. Okay. I'll stop it. And Jackie, with the foundation, I know, especially with me, the few projects that I've been on, especially Nepal, kind of being the last one before COVID hit and everything, the memories that you're just left with are I want to know what your favorite memories and experiences are with the foundation, as everyone I've talked to who has been part of the foundation has just I'm trying not to get leaky eye syndrome here, as my dad would say. I just love to hear your favorite memories and experiences with the foundation so far.
Yeah. My favorite experiences are the ones in which I can really learn from the beneficiaries of the foundation. I think so often in the world of philanthropy or international development, it's normal to have a mindset of, I want to go in and help. I want to serve. I want to do whatever I can to support. But I find time and time again, when I go and serve and support, really what I'm going and doing is learning from the beneficiaries lessons that I haven't been able to learn in the surroundings and environment that I was raised in. I watch the challenges that they have endured, and I can't comprehend going through them, but then enduring and having the resiliency and the determination to create something incredible and beautiful and meaningful of my life. And I study these beneficiaries, and I don't really see it as I'm going in and serving and supporting and helping. Well, maybe I do, but in the reverse, just as much as they are coming and serving and supporting and helping me, teaching me such significant lessons that I need to learn and that transform my life as much as life transformation happens for those that are impacted by the foundation. Wow. Those are my favorite experiences.
Yeah, I guess now looking back at it, that wasn't necessarily a fair question. They're all amazing and favorite memories as well. We also have a lot of new listeners to this podcast and new members with Young Living and a lot of people who really probably have never heard about the D. Gary Young Young Living Foundation. So can you touch up on a few of the projects that we've done since your joining with Young Living, some upcoming ones?
Sure. Okay. So in the past year and a half, the foundation is now working with an all-girls school in Jharkhand, India. This area is has the highest human trafficking rates in India and highest child marriage rates for girls in this particular area. So we're supporting that school. We have programming in Mexico now through an organization called Escalera in southern Mexico in Chiapas, which is Mexico's poorest state. We're supporting indigenous youth with their education there, secondary education. We have partnered with an organization here in the U.S. called Heart of America, which is focusing on Navajo youth here in Utah.
And that was so fun to put the little booklets kits. And education's kit together. That was so much fun.
Oh, we loved having you with that. Phase two of that project, so we deployed 1,000 education kits to Navajo youth that do not have electricity. But now the next phase is installing solar paneling to student homes that don't have electricity here in Utah. So we're really excited about that. We have recently partnered with a child advocacy center in Nunavut, Canada, and it's the first child advocacy center in the region.
Wow.
There's so many things. And then we now have 16 partner artisan groups around the world where we're supporting marginalized or disenfranchised or women from really tough socioeconomic backgrounds, with connecting them to the Young Living market or to give them capacity building grants that help them develop the opportunity to earn an income. So we've got a group of women in Uganda that with the proceeds, they're trying to build a special needs center for kids in their community. A group of girls in Nepal that are all survivors of human trafficking. That is one of our artisan groups. We've got a group in Rwanda and Vietnam and Paraguay. And one of the really exciting things is there's a group developing of a Young Living Academy mothers, and it's called Bromelia.
That's right.
So we're really excited about that as well. So that gives you a little taste of some of what's going on, even more beyond that.
And this is just in the last year and a half.
Yeah.
Holy cow. I didn't know we had so many projects going on. As my mom would say, we're shaking and a moving.
We're moving and shaking.
I love it. And so with all these projects, I mean, these are previous projects that are happening on right now. Are there any upcoming projects, events, or anything like that that people who are listening can participate and help out with?
As restrictions ease up, there will be more.
Yeah.
Yes. So we've had to cancel all service projects last year and this year. But here, if you live close to Utah, we had the Flipping for Freedom project where we renovated a home.
That was a lot of fun.
That was so fun. We likely will be doing that again.
Wonderful.
The solar kit installations in Navajo homes, we will have some a group of about 20 employees / brand partners that will be joining us for that project. And now that the world is settling back in, we will be opening up more opportunities to serve.
Wonderful. And all these upcoming projects and ways that you can participate and help, even just kind of behind the scenes, you know, not necessarily in person, to see all that, see how you can be part of the Young Living Foundation and all these other wonderful organizations, please make sure to click on the link down below for the D. Gary Young Young Living Foundation at younglivingfoundation.org. You'll have all the information there. There's so much and so many ways that you can help out. It's just beautiful. I love how our foundation has just impacted and helped so many lives, and you especially for just helping put it all together. All right, with all that being said, Jackie, I want to take a quick second and really talk about something really new and exciting that we are launching with the podcast. So The Wild Drop is launching a Patreon account where you, those of you listening and watching, can be a direct participant with the podcast, and you can get some exclusive content, behind the scenes footage, all that kind of stuff. But with all that being said, you are also helping out with the foundation and just helping with all the projects that we just talked about, everything that's going on, all upcoming events, your proceeds for your donations, it all goes to the foundation, 100% of the proceeds. And I think that's so amazing. So go ahead and head over to patreon.com/theYLDrop. The link will be down below for those of you watching on YouTube. And you can see all the content that you can get with the different tiers. And like I said, this helps out the foundation. So I'm so happy that, Jackie, we were able to partner with the foundation and get this set up. I'm super excited with it. And let's head back. Jackie, thank you so much for coming on to the show, sharing your experiences growing up, goals for girls, your transition into the Young Living Foundation, all the projects that you've set up just in the last year and a half of you joining. I know you didn't meet my dad, but he's definitely really happy and proud of everything that you've been able to accomplish. Just thank you. Thank you so much. Is there any last words that you'd like to share with anyone listening?
No, you are so awesome. And thank you so much for having me. And I guess the last word would be, do get involved and donate and round up and all of the little ways. It makes a huge difference when a lot of people around the world just give a little.
Yeah, especially just, you know, a few cents here and there. I mean, when hundreds of thousands of people add all those cents up together, it ends up really impacting and just helping with all the projects that you just heard about and even more projects coming on. Jackie, like I said, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you all so much for listening and watching this episode. YL family, don't forget to oil up. This is Jacob Young with the YL Drop. Dropping out. Take care.